Now, and we've been looking throughout those weeks at different aspects of worship and how we can worship better. In that first week, we talked about some of the things that we have misconceptions about worship, and that worship is not just simply something that happens for 1 hour on a Sunday morning when we're at church. Worship has to be something that we're doing every moment of every day of our life. It's a lifestyle that we have to learn to live. And if we're only doing it when we're here at church, then we're not experiencing all that God wanted us to experience as His creation. And we have all different kinds of ways that we can worship. And we use as many of them as we can in our worship services. Not only do we worship through music, but we worship through giving of our tithes and offerings. We worship through listening to the proclamation of God's word. We worship through art. You know, when Vicky stands up here and paints these amazing pictures for us, she's doing that as an act of worship. We even worship through drama. And there are those who are gifted in being able to do drama and open up our hearts in different ways through those sorts of activities. And so there's all kinds of different ways that we can worship. And we need to be doing that every single day as a lifestyle, not just something that happens on Sunday morning. In the second week, we talked about God's word, in that we have this word that God gave us. And in this word, there are truths that apply to our lives. There are things that we need to take from God's word and we need to be living out on a daily basis. And if we do that, then we are being used by God in the way that He intended for us to be used. And in that same message, that was Easter, and we learned, we looked at Christ's ministry to us. In John chapter 1, it says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word. And because of what He did for us, leaving heaven, the richness and the glory and the power and the majesty of heaven, and coming to live on this earth, to die for our sins, paying the penalty that each and every one of us deserved, and being put in a grave and being raised from the dead 3 days later, conquering death and sin. Because of that, we can worship Him. And then last week, we talked about how we can worship through communication. Now, obviously, prayer is a huge part of that. That's one of the vehicles that God gave us to be able to communicate with Him. But that's only half of the equation. There are times where we need to just sit and be quiet and allow God to speak to us. And oftentimes, God will wait until you are able to kind of put all the other voices and all the other things that distract us behind us so that He can speak to us. God wants us to communicate with Him. He's given us the ability to speak to Him and to hear His voice. And so we can worship God through communication. This morning, I want to spend just a few minutes talking about how worship is eternal. And when we talk about the word eternal, it's something that for many of us, it's a difficult concept to grasp, right? Because everything that we experience in the here and now has a beginning point and an ending point, right? You know, that's not difficult for us to understand. And we live in a society that has a hard time kind of looking forward. You know, we don't spend a whole lot of time planning ahead, particularly down the road. You know, we might have a plan of what we're going to do today, maybe even the next week. But when it comes to future planning, that's something that our culture has become kind of complacent with. We live in a society where we have all kinds of information at our fingertips almost at a moment's notice. You know, you've got these celebrities that have literally hundreds of thousands of followers on Twitter, right? And it takes a second from the time that they click send, for it to go up to the satellites, wherever, however that works, and come back to your phone or your iPad or whatever the case is, and literally in a moment's notice, hundreds of thousands of people have just gotten the same information. And so we've become a society that doesn't want to wait, and we want to gratify, we want to satisfy our cravings, whatever that might be, right now. And as long as we don't have to worry about that, as long as we're happy, as long as we feel like we're successful, as long as we've got money in our back pocket, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time thinking about the future. It'll take care of itself, and I'll deal with it when it gets there. And yet there's something about us that is eternal. You know, our bodies are something that grows old and will die eventually, but there's a part of us that is eternal. And even with that being the case, we still don't totally understand that concept, and we're so willing oftentimes to sacrifice the eternal for the here and now. I don't know if any of you have a story in your family that's kind of like the story, you know, whenever your family's together or whatever, maybe it's Christmas and you're at dinner, whatever the case is, you just know that this story is going to come up at some point and it's going to be told, right? Does everybody have a story like that? Yes? Okay, thank you. Well, this story, for me and Steve, we kind of understand this. The rest of you are just going to kind of have to follow along and humor me, okay? But for me, this is that story. When I was a kid, I was probably, I don't know, 5. And I'm going to be totally honest with you. I don't even really remember the events, like, in my brain, like, actually having experienced them. But I've been told this story so many times that I might as well remember. Does that make sense? And so I'm just going off kind of secondhand stories that I've been told like 5,000 times. But I was probably 5 or so. My brother was 3, maybe somewhere in there, and I decided that I was going to play a prank on my brother. And so I went upstairs in our bathroom, and in our bathroom, when you walked in the door, the sink was on the right, and the tub was on the left, and like kind of right behind the door to the bathroom was a closet. It also had a door. So I decided that I was going to hide in the closet and make my brother think that I had been sucked down the tub drain, okay? So I'm in the closet, and I call out to my brother. I'm frantic. He comes up, and he's like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "Brady, I've been sucked down the tub drain. You've got to get Mom and get help, right? I've got to get out of here." And so my brother freaks out, and he runs downstairs, and he gets Mom. Mom, Kyle's been sucked down the tub drain. You've got to come help me get him out. And of course, my mom, immediately understanding what's happening, decides she's going to kind of play along a little bit. So they both trot back upstairs, and she sits him on the side of the tub, and she sits down on the side of the tub, and she says, "You know, Brady, we could try and get your brother out. You know, we could try and figure out a way to do that, but I want you to think about this. Last week was Halloween, and if we leave him down there, you can have all of his Halloween candy." And so my brother thinks about it for like a second or two maximum. And he leans over the tub and he says, "Bye, Kyle." And of course, my mom then opens up the closet door, and there I am standing. This whole thing has just kind of backfired on me, right? But you see, my brother didn't have the ability to be able to think ahead at what he was giving up, right? A lifetime of brotherly arguing and bickering and fighting over stuff, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to keep that going? You know, he was willing to sacrifice all of that for a few pieces of candy. Because as a 3-year-old, he didn't have the capacity to look ahead and to plan for the future. And so many times in our lives, we are willing to sacrifice the eternal for the here and now. You see, God has created something eternal about us, something that is never, ever going to die. And we have to take care of that part of us right now. And in a few moments, we're going to go to a passage in Revelation, and we're going to look at an account of what worship is going to look like someday when we get to heaven. And it's going to be incredible. But I want to give you a little bit of a disclaimer as we go there. We're going to be reading a rather long passage this morning. We're actually going to read two entire chapters of Revelation. And there's going to be a lot of details that you're going to hear. John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, used a lot of imagery. And there are a lot of things that we don't totally understand about the book of Revelation because it's stuff that's not happened yet. This is all stuff that's happening in the future. And so I want you to understand that as we read this, I don't want you to get all caught up in the details. We're not going to spend a lot of time on the details. I want you to simply get a broad understanding of what's going to kind of be happening when we get to heaven. Because it's going to be something amazing, and it's going to be something that we're never going to be able to forget. Now, the book of Revelation was written by the Apostle John, and church history tells us that almost all of the disciples were murdered or martyred for their faith, for their association with Jesus Christ, for their proclamation of the gospel. All of them were murdered except for John. John was exiled to the island of Patmos, and as far as we know, lived out his days on that island to be an old man. And when John wrote the book of Revelation, he was an old man. He was probably somewhere between 80 and 90 years old when he received this revelation. And so, as we go here, generally we tell you to follow along with us, and you're more than welcome to do that. We're going to throw the words up on the screen. If you have your own Bible, you're more than welcome to follow along. But I want you to really imagine in your mind's eye what's happening here. And so maybe that means that you just need to close your eyes as I read through this and really try to experience what it was that John was experiencing as God revealed this scene to him. Revelation chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. He says, "After this I looked, and there in heaven was an open door. The first voice that I had heard speaking to me was like a trumpet, and it said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' Immediately I was in the Spirit, and a throne was set there in heaven. One seated on the throne, and the one seated looked like jasper and carnelian stone. A rainbow that looked like an emerald surrounded the throne. Around that throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones sat 24 elders dressed in white clothes with gold crowns on their heads. Flashes of lightning and rumblings of thunder came from the throne. Seven fiery torches were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Something like a sea of glass, similar to crystal, was also before the throne. The four living creatures, covered with eyes in front and in back, were in the middle and around the throne. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings, and they were covered with eyes around and inside. Day and night, they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is and who is to come.' Whenever the living creatures gave glory, honor, and thanks to the one seated on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before the one seated on the throne, worshiped the one who lives forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, and say, 'Our Lord and God, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and power, because you have created all things, and because of your will they exist and were created.'" Chapter 5. "Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll with writing on the inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. I also saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scrolls or even look at it. And I cried because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or even look at it. Then one of the elders said to me, "Stop crying. Look, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has been victorious so that he may open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing before the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into all the earth. He came and took the scroll out of the right hand of the one seated on the throne. When he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slaughtered and you redeemed people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and the elders. And their number was countless thousands plus thousands of thousands. They said with a loud voice, "The Lamb who was slaughtered is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them say, "Blessing and honor and dominion to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Wow. What an incredible scene that John was given. You see, there's going to come a day when the only thing that we're going to be doing as believers in Jesus Christ, when Christ calls us home, whenever that is, whether it's in the next hour or the next day or 3,000 years from now, when Christ calls us home and we're finally with him in our final place in heaven, the only thing that we're going to be doing is worshiping him. Because you see, God has created us to worship him. That's what he created us for. Now here's the problem. When we're born into this world, we're born broken. We're broken, sinful. We're born messed up. And even though that we're created to worship, there's something in us that is bent away from God. And our desire is not always to please him and do the things that he's called us to do. Oftentimes, we are selfish and we're only concerned about ourselves. And we're way more concerned about making sure that we have all of our needs met rather than making sure that we're doing all that God has called us to do. And that's why it's so important that we begin to look forward and understand what it means for us to worship eternally. God wants us and desires for us to be in relationship with him here and now and to do everything as unto the Lord. It says in the Bible, work as unto the Lord, right? And sometimes we find that difficult depending on what our job is. You know, I work in the pest control industry. And so it's difficult for me sometimes to think that I can be worshiping God as I'm out there killing bugs, right? But you see, the thing is, it's not what you're doing. It's not the profession that you're in. You know, each and every one of us has some sort of ministry. And some of us are called to full-time ministry that we actually get paid for. Some of us don't, you know? But each and every one of us are called to be full-time ministers. Okay, and so it comes down to, where is your heart when you're doing those things? If you're doing those things because you simply have to get a paycheck, but you do it, you're grumbling the whole time and you're complaining and you're never happy and you're never satisfied, then you're going to live out the rest of your days very unhappy and dissatisfied. But if you wake up in the morning and you decide that you're going to live today as unto the Lord and you're going to do everything as though you're doing it for Him, not for your boss because you want Him to sign your paycheck at the end of the week, then there's going to be a level of contentment that you can never experience outside of that. We have to look forward. I often think about finances. Some of us, well, not me necessarily, but some of you in the room probably are very into finances. Now, I listen to Dave Ramsey a lot just because I like Dave Ramsey. Not that I'm necessarily very good at investing money and things like that. But, you know, I often think when I talk about looking forward, I think about investing, right? Because that's something that at least we have some sort of grasp on. A few years ago, they took a survey of the top billionaires in the world. And the only one on the list that had made all of their money, Warren Buffett, is a billionaire, okay, several times over probably, but he's made all of his money, every single dollar, from investing, okay? Which is something that's very difficult for many people, but somehow he's become extremely proficient at it. And so when we look at our lives, you know, we need to look at somebody like Warren Buffett who has spent their lives investing for the future. And we can see from that earthly example that if you do that and you become good at it, then you can succeed and you can have everything that you ever wanted. And of course, we're not only to be concerned about money, right? But as we're looking at this concept of eternal worship, we have to begin to understand that we have to invest in eternity today. And it's something that does not come naturally to us. As I said before, we're broken and we're sinful, and so we have to learn to worship better. And that's what we've really been trying to do over these last several weeks is to talk about some different aspects of worship so that we might understand how we can worship better and how we can live this life that God has given us now to glorify Him in everything that we do. And you may be saying, well, Kyle, that's great. You know, I understand that when we get to heaven, we're going to be worshiping eternally. And the awesome thing about that is that when we get to heaven, we're not going to have to try. It's going to come naturally. As we're standing before the one seated on that throne, there's going to be nothing that's going to be on our mind greater than giving Him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise that He deserves. And in that moment, we're going to be able to do what God created us to do and worship Him perfectly. But as long as we're on this earth, we have to work at it. We have to make it a daily commitment to say that we're going to get up and we're going to give Him everything because He's given us everything. I want you to turn for a minute to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. It says, "So if you've been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what's on the earth." You see, we have to begin today looking forward and investing in eternity. Because forever matters today. God has given us this life, and He said that we can do with this life whatever we want. We have total freedom. We could go out and we could live every single day for ourselves. We could go out every single day doing whatever it is that we want to do, making ourselves happy for the moment, satisfying all of those things that we want for the moment, or we could begin looking ahead and seeing what is truly important and understanding how God created us from the beginning of the world and begin investing in eternity today. Andy and the band are going to come up and we're going to sing. And my hope is that as we've gone through these last few weeks, that God has begun to reveal something to you about what it means to truly worship God. And I know that God has been speaking to me about some things that I can do better, some things that I need to work on. And so as we begin to sing, maybe God's been laying something on your heart that you need to change, that you need to begin to do better. My hope and prayer is that right now in this moment, that you'd begin to do that. Maybe you're in this room and you don't know what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you don't even know that you're going to be able to spend eternity worshiping the Creator. There are going to be some folks in the back wearing white lanyards who would be more than willing to spend some time talking with you about what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, so that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when either we die or God calls us home, that you will be with Him forever in eternity, casting your crowns at His feet, giving Him all the glory, all the honor, all the praise that is due Him. We were created for this moment. So as we sing, worship Him in whatever way God is leading you. But please don't leave this place wondering, not sure what eternity holds for you. Because our bodies die, but our souls live on forever. And it's way too important not take the time to think about